how we love things like this. Michelle walked out and said, wow, it felt like we were back on the mission field. I went over to Lawrence, are we recording, Andy? And he said, hey, that was fun. It felt like we were back on the mission field. Wow, that's deep. Really. I was drawn into a place in India, actually, and it was Pastor Israel Benjamin's house. Many of us have been there, and his father holds church there in the upper room, because you can actually lose yourself, your mortality, by even speaking the name of Jesus, and it's increasing there. So anyway, I felt like we were there. It was like, wow, what's going on here? And I remember one day there was a, I don't know if she was it a deaf mute or just mute? I don't remember. I think it was deaf mute who began to speak. And that was like simple in worship. God is good. Thank you. I love you. How many of you have ever read this book? I grabbed it off of my nightstand. It's called Humility. It's deep. Yeah, Andrew Murray, Humility. Can you put your hands up if you've read this? Yours might be yellow, maybe not. I encourage you guys to get it. It's like carrying a sword that just, you know, has flowers on the end and a sharp point, but it's really good. It's good reading before you go to bed. It's like, whoa! Mine's all marked up from forever ago, long time ago. There's some papers, Jamie? Okay, thank you. I was going to have. All right, you're all wanting some pictures, I guess. I was just forwarding a bunch of things to Andy. And I want to give you a report, a praise report. Pastor Samuel from Ghana. Thank you, love. Yeah, can I have one? Then you can do something with him. In a second. Does it say who the author is of this? Oh, there it is. Whoa. Wow. Okay. Well, before I tell you about Pastor Samuel, thank you, Carly and Jamie, for redoing this. This says Worthy Christian Library, Andrew Murray on Humility, Chapter 9, Humility and Faith. I don't know if that's in this book or not. I haven't checked that. I found out right before I got in the car with my crazy key, I found out that what I thought was Derek Prince, I had heard that from somebody. I said, oh, okay, because I didn't know who the author was of this. I referred to it last week, handed a few things out last week, if you remember. And so anyway, just wanted to, I found out it was not Derek Prince, that it was Andrew Murray. And they put it at the top. Thank you. So chapter 9, Humility and Faith. This is another good read. And I know that if we have an inbox or an outbox, you know, we'll say, I'll get to that. Well, that's a good thing. But I would really recommend, especially after today, with the worship that God put on Pastor Bill's heart for this season to do that way. And what I'm going to show you, that you would grab this when you go home. You're going to pass one out to every person, not just household. Everybody gets their own. It's pretty cool. It gets right to it. It's kind of like this. I was watching last night. I was going through Facebook things and just, you know, glancing at the internet, but I was trying to get into Ben Atkinson's teachings that we sent out, you know, the five sessions that we had back in the first week in February. And I was sending that out to everybody saying, oh my gosh, watch it again. It's so good. You know, if you missed any, you can catch up. If you haven't missed any and you want to watch it again, it's deep because it's timely for right now. And, you know, I think we all can say, living in America, you're busy, right? We're busy people. So, you know, I've been looking and carving, trying to carve my own world around so that I can walk my talk, you know. It's like, well, I have to listen to it because I said it. Not really, but I really felt it, you know, strongly. It's like, this is something gold, and I want to send this out to you, and sent that to Ben, too. you know, to encourage his heart. So anyway, last night I was checking out Saturday night. You know, it's good to go in order, but I have been going in order, and so for the most part, I'm the kind of person, Troy always kids me about this and others, you know, that I go to the back of the book and I read the end and I skim. Many times I skim it, or even when I'm serious, I'll go to the back and read it backwards that way. That's just me. I don't know, you can put a label on that, I guess, but you know, I want to, it's kind of like I loved going to Revelation and then seeing this all together and then go back to Genesis and put it together so that I have a more balanced understanding of Scripture. So anyway, I do want to mention to you that before your kids go to Kingdom Land and before anything happens, you know, at all like that, so I want to make sure you get this. Well, Pastor Samuel and Pastor Dan have been in Ghana North for 2 weeks, over 2 weeks, and they have had a flurry of excitement there. Some things that have been incredibly challenging for them, and that's usually the way it is when God's trying to grow us, right? It's going to be not going to be simple. So it's not been super simple, but they've mixed that with prayer and fasting with the troops who are up there in the various, you know, villages. Village churches and such. And so we've been in really close communication, and there have been attempts, you know, to thwart God's plans, of course. I mean, why not? That's the enemy's job, right? It's just our job to recognize that and be so filled with love that we can see what he's doing and then navigate properly through that. So last week, I showed a bunch of pictures, or at least a few, of what the buildings are looking like and all that. And the weeks, couple weeks before that, showing you what's going on in Brazil, what's happening with our building project there. And then I got another picture this week from Pastor Jose, and it's all centering around building. And it's like, okay, I'm catching this more. You know, I may not be the sharpest tack in the box, but, you know, this is making sense. You're starting to put these things together even more for all of us. And so last night when I talked to Pastor Samuel, he had to head home for just a couple of few days, and he's heading back to the north to finish what's going on. The workers are there. He and Pastor Dan are not. It's like, whoa, that's new. Okay, today, this will probably only mean something to you if you remember the early years in Ghana. So I'll share this briefly with you. But he's going to an anniversary celebration of a church, kind of like a revival anniversary, of a place called Doblokano. A Doblokano was a wild village with a wild chief who we baptized in this big lagoon, and he'd stand there and he'd go, get in here, come in here, you need to be baptized. Like, you know, it's he was in touch with God at that moment, but maybe his ways are like, you know, yes sir, I'd jump in the water. Not quite how it works, but anyway, we had a lot of healings, a lot of deliverances, a lot of crazy, crazy stuff that happened there. And this, you know, maybe your memory bank's going, oh my gosh, I was there. Whoever either heard of or went to Doblokano. Okay, let's get those hands up in the air. You can ask them all their questions, all the questions you want. We will be going again, no doubt. But anyway, that's where Pastor Samuel is. And I was smiling going, oh my gosh. Talk about an ebb and a flow in ministry. It's definitely an ebb and flow. And so he's going to go back, but he said to me, oh, Pastor Maripat, I had a serious problem last night. He said, what? He says, I'm driving home and my brakes, they go out. It's like, oh, no. If you've been to Ghana or any third world country, or even here, that's not a good plan. So, you know, his brakes went out. So he's in gear, and he goes from fifth gear to fourth gear to third gear, and he's trying to navigate through that and go around cars and move. You know how busy it is in Accra and, you know, other areas. So he said, it was God. It was God. He really protected us. I was able to bring it to a stop. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. And I so he praised the Lord for his life. And he goes, and then really close, we were able to get it fixed. That's the story of what we do, you know. Like, there's always somebody with a wrench or a truck or Carl has plans. He knows. Like, maybe we could use a Voltic bottle on top of a tire to fix a cap. I remember that one. So, you know, anyway, he was fixed and he was fine. But here's another thing that happened. And we're going to show you a picture. Andy, maybe you can show up the new guardhouse that we have. the gentlemen who were going to take the old guardhouse down were standing, three on the inside of the wall, four on the outside. I'm not sure which one. And the walls all, my word, was imploded. You know, they all collapsed together, apparently. You know, it seemed like there was going to be imminent doom. And so I said, what happened? And he said, they could hear the... And I said, what did they do? And he didn't even know the Brazil story. He's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And he ran out. They ran out the door for their life. Was anybody hurt? No. Thank you, Jesus. So praise the name of Jesus. So this is our new guide or guardhouse, depending on who you're talking to. Not finished yet. And this is actually on the right side as you're facing our mission house. That's our new one. And this is a fresh one. I believe we got yesterday. So more this morning yet, which I'm not sharing all these pictures with you. Any other from Ghana you want to show, Andy? Because they're kind of mixed. I just sent a bunch to him this morning. It's like, that's India. Yeah, we'll go to Ghana because I do have something to tell you. I know they look different. Don't confuse the kids, these poor kids. It's like, okay, there's our mission house right now. There's the new door. Kim and Rick, you're going to love that, and our team. And there are rooms on the inside, bathroom on the inside, and there's the guardhouse over there. I don't know. Is there any other one that I sent you, Andy, about the mission house? About the mission house there is? Yeah, okay, there's the back, kids of the kingdom here. There's the back of this, and there's the side. Okay, that was the last one or not from Ghana? Okay, then we didn't send one. There was one. There's one more. Oh, to another country? We can. Is there anything at all from Ghana so I can just keep moving? Okay, all right. Well, anyway, we know that we did a crusade there many years ago in a big soccer field, and we had connected. And guys, you know what a crusade is? Crusade is when you tell people about Jesus, and you've got a big stage, and you're on the stage because you're up high, and you've got people on the stage and music, instruments and everything, and then you've got a great big area, and then people come in. People come in, and you know, from all over the place. And so we had one of those, and we partnered with a lot of people who led churches that are not part of Life Christian Center. And we've not really had a really strong connection with them since that time. We've been in, you know, good relationship, but not doing things together. So sure enough, over the weekend, we had one of the leaders of the whole, the leader of the whole Council of Churches on our land, discussing an issue with us over the phone, speaker phone, with Pastor Bill and I and Pastor Dan and Pastor Samuel and a few others, a couple others. And it was really good. And we saw something, felt something, and then the report was positive that something just shifted and moved into a really good place. It was like, wow. And so when Pastor Bill was talking to this leader, they reminded each other that they had known each other and all that in the past. And we talked about doing more work with them in the future when we go. It was very positive. It was like going back. It was the timing for that. So very positive as he's looking at all the buildings on the land that are now changed and improved. I don't know, last week, if you weren't here, I'm sorry, but you could, I don't know what to do about that, but we did show our new building that we have that is the overseeing, what do you call it? The Kingdom Bible School Pavilion building. So I think we have a picture of that. And if not, then We'll do it someday. But anyway, we have an addition of 16 feet. We thought it was 10, but we have 16 more feet. So from here to where would 16 feet be? Can someone who's really good at this tell me? Because I'm not. It's not my 16. I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm asking you. Find 16 feet. So just the kids can know. Is that right? Somewhere about there. Okay, at least 16 feet for the whole building on top of new walls, fixing the floor and new roof and the walls going up to your waist. So praise the Lord for that. And all kinds of things happening on the inside. The building is sprayed. It's being sealed. Bathroom places are receiving doors. There's new everything. The tiles that were falling apart have new ones moving in and being put in and such. So praise the name of Jesus for that. And that's the Great Commission. Okay, so turn your head sideways. There you go. Is it a video? Okay, there's our building, guys. Turn your head sideways, I guess. Look at that. I don't even know if they have it all in there. So it's really big, really, really big. So praise the Lord for that. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's keep moving. India. I think we just have one or two. How many do we have, Andy? I'm sorry? One of India. Okay. This is not India. Okay. So, should we just do this one? Okay, all right. If you've been to India, put your hand up. Some of us. Oh, good. Okay. Does anybody know who this is? Well, yes, Basha is one. We know Basha is Pastor Israel Benjamin's daughter. It is Timothy. Timothy was a young man who lived in one of the houses, and he was maybe 13, 12 when we met him, something like that, 13, 14, I don't know. We started in 2009. 2013, all the houses were, you know, kids were taken and all that. So he was young. He has a story of being separated from everybody who was helping him, just like all the other kids. And he, I don't know the whole testimony, but he had hoped to live with someone in his family. That didn't work out. So he was standing in the dark in a building in the corner with no food, no place to live, on the street. And God sent a man into this dark place with food, gave him food, offered him a job somehow, somewhere. And then he went into a room. He had been living from that point on in a room by himself. Somehow through the job, if I've got this testimony right, he started to begin school, so he was taking classes somewhere. So he got some money for that in these very difficult years. And he heard that Pastor Israel Benjamin got out of jail and made his way to see him. And then when they met, he completely cried and fell apart weeping, because that was his spiritual and is his spiritual father. And he had secretly said, put it on his heart that I could, God, that I could live with Uncle. I just want to live with him. Right after that prayer, Pastor Israel Benjamin, because this is all recorded, Pastor Israel Benjamin said, would you live with us? Would you want to live with us? So he is now living with the family, and he's going to begin begins college this fall. And it's a complete new reunion. And two other boys from the home where the kids were snatched and taken traveled 3,000 kilometers just to see him, to come and be with, you know, him. So God is putting people back together. He's a God of restoration and healing and stretching. So it's been really challenging. But the Lord says, I want to build your faith frontline, because you have stood for all these people. You've sowed money. You've gone. And you have a heart for missions. And it's just the beginning. So God is taking us into a new realm. When we look at Ghana, the same. When we look at Brazil, it's the same. So can we put up, is there anything else? Just Brazil is left? Didn't I give you a Brazil video? Or no? Did you want to put it up? Okay. All right, there we go. This is our new building in Brazil. Yeah, this is the ceiling. The roof is above that, obviously. This is very good size. It's very big. This is the worship center that we own right now that God has doubled for us. The kids over there, and Inez and Pastor Jerseo, are so excited. Look at this. And you've sown into that. Isn't this amazing? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. That's a big wow. Young ones have started the third session of Holy Clubs, Song of Solomon. And the minute they said yes to that and began, all kinds of friction that was hidden friction, but the friction started to rise. And it's been rough. But they've persevered because they knew it was the voice of the Lord, and it is the voice of the Lord for the timing. So they're not meeting in there right now for Holy Clubs. They're meeting across, you know, in Pastor Jerseo's place, 10 feet across. And they're worshiping and having soaking and everything, but they'll be in there shortly. So really excited about that. So God is, he's on the move in our hearts. And if we're going to be first responders to people overseas like this, we really have to get a better handle, all of us, me included. What's he saying in the big picture is, it's not about our individual worlds and our jobs and our family and our kids and all that. Not that they're not important. It's just he's bigger. And so he's trying to take us to those places in the secret place to be able to condition us to carry the weight he wants to give us to be able to help and have the heart for overseas missions like this. And more is coming, much more. So this is a season where just about everything that could be shaken in us is being shaken, and you can see it in our country. It's pretty strong. And so we all know what happened, and I'm not going to say too much about it, obviously, but we all know what happened in Parkland, Florida. We all know what was going on there on Valentine's Day, right? Can you believe it? So one of the most incredible breaches of love for the whole world to see. And in the very beginning of February, we invited Ben to come, and he spoke to us about, not just spoke to us, he imparted aspects of love that take us actually right back, which is kind of funny, right back to this. It's just so much fun to think about that. So the Lord is saying, I'm strengthening you right now, I'm introducing you right now to another dimension, and he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Because the enemy's not pleased at all, praise God. So that happened, and then you know the next week happened here in our beloved Jackson Township. So there's been all kinds of things going on, and you know what they are, you adults. And you're going to have to prepare your children in the love of God for what they're in the middle of, whether it's literally touched them now or not, it will. Or it's intended to by the enemy, and because that's the enemy's way. So they have to become so grounded in love, what love looks like, that you're going to have to model for them. What do you do when you don't like the way somebody does their stuff? What do you do when you're living with someone that acts immature? What do you do about that? You know, how do you respond? What do you do? And what do you not do? And so that's where immature or mature love will show itself. And in this season, we're being challenged to walk in mature love, or how God wants to mature it. And if we resist that, it'll be more difficult for everybody, because we're all linked together. So, you know, that's where this is a key. I made your key. I've got my key here without all the buttons. It's like, I get it, God. Okay. So praise the Lord. I hope you receive that, because I, I I actually this morning, when I watched Ben's message again, I picked three little segments. They're not the best. There is no the best. But I was asking the Lord, I said, which would you like me to show? Because I really wanted, I felt he was saying that. And he picked, used me, but I believe these are the three, at least four today, and it's not the whole thing. And we are going to move forward in helping others become better equipped in the area of love. And that's our intention and always has been for Holy Clubs. And we're going to step out a little bit and try to help, to try to step into that which God's released as a blessing. And hopefully if there's, you know, any question or anything that would need to be clarified about that, we would walk in some more maturity rather than make assumptions. Because that's actually what I've, you know, I know is a strategy of the enemy. And so he doesn't tell you to, the Lord doesn't say stand against it if there isn't one there. So that's happened. And it's already happened. And it's like, wow, must be something good. So we need to talk through these things and communicate and also meet more than that, humble ourselves for real, and then challenge one another. So that's my thought on that. So before the kiddos go, I'm going to pass the, maybe you guys can do it for me. Can you pass it out for me, people? Some people? I don't know. And may I challenge you with that? And if you're going to be teaching the kids today with this kind of unusual day, would you please get this, you know, get the teaching of this so you can put it all together so you're not like me this morning running around going, what are you saying? I need an aha. So this will kind of bring a little more finality to it. So as we watch these short clips, there's three short, they're kind of short, you know, like 3 minutes here, 4 minutes there, that type of thing. Let's pray first and open our spiritual ears so we can hear what God is saying, okay? We hear what God is saying to the church. So, Lord, we just surrender again everything we're going to do from this moment on, and we're going to ask you, Lord, to help us. We invite you. We say, Lord, I don't want to be drawn away. I don't want to be drawn away into anything other than your presence. I don't want to be drawn away through my own opinion, through my own logic or my own thought or my own eye gate or anything else, God. I don't want to be drawn away. I want to be drawn away into your heart so I can really get close to you, God, closer than ever before, closer, 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 closer. Lord, that's the desire. Draw us into your heart. Draw the kids here into your heart. Draw me into your heart, Lord. As we watch and think, we stop and think. Stop and think. Thank you, Jesus. Let this be a turning point for us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Father, may you have the freedom to apply with my desire your word to my heart right now, the rest of the day. Kiss me with the kisses of your word, with your intimate word. Change me, God. Let there be ahas for me and everyone here, what you're saying and doing right now. Thanks, Jesus. Okay, kids. See you. Have fun. Goodbye.
And if Jesus gave a warning, it's really important. His warning is, as lawlessness abounds, the what? Love of many would grow cold. How many of you, honestly, don't raise your hand, you've kind of felt your love growing a little colder through this season as you've seen lawlessness abound?
Put it up a little bit, Andy.
I mean, you just think about that, like, you know, this, it's not only dull, but just growing cold. And so what we want to do, the Lord warned us in the midst of lawlessness, the first thing to grow is your love. So we've got to be preemptive in having a fiery love inside our heart. Not only that, but we've not only got to be preemptive in doing this, make it a priority. We've got to make it a priority for those that were called to disciple. We've got to teach them to go after the love of God. I found if I don't teach them, the people I'm around, to go after the love of God, I have to hear confessions every single Monday morning. And I'm tired. I mean, I love the body of Christ, don't get me wrong. But I have tons more to do on Monday that I would love to get done than hear confessions all Monday long. Does that make sense? And so I'm like, after a while, I mean, I used to make it when I was working at our Bible school. I mean, I literally just sat in a room and heard confessions all Monday. And it had to do with what they were watching and then overeating, and then that led to immorality and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm just like, stop. For me, I'm like, stop. Like, come on around with me, man. Let's go. Let's get this done. But what was happening was I found that people's love was growing cold. And so I said, this is how I kind of wanted to redeem my Mondays, so I could get more production out of my Mondays. Therefore, I'm like, let's go after love abounding in a greater way. And so I had a dream. In the dream, and some of you may have heard this, but I'm just going to repeat it. In the dream, I watched people, mostly college and university students, were starting their day off watching and going after and engaging in the Song of Solomon. And then as they did this, they were talking back and forth through social media, through group texting. And then while they were doing that, they were growing in the love of God, and their hearts were coming alive, and they were growing their communities on the love of God. And as they did that, they were becoming those that what? Participated. Jesus says, if your love is linked to salvation, enduring to the end, verse 13. And then, I'm going to touch that a little bit, because it might be a sacred cow for some of you. And then verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Listen, if you want to be a part of this next move of God, which is now and is increasing, you've got to guard the love of God in your heart. You have to be alive. You have to have fiery love. I'm going to share another quick dream. In this dream, I was getting ready to celebrate. Or no, let me put a timeline on it. I'm in the dream, and the third great awakening had already happened. And so it's something that I believe hasn't come, and people are like, we're in it or we're not or whatever. And this is my dream, so just bear with me. It's just a dream. And so in the dream, I realized the third great awakening had already happened, and we were celebrating what God did. We were like, isn't that awesome? We were gathering together, but I knew as we were gathering together, it was immense persecution in the nations. We were doing missions in the nations, but there was major persecution, and we were having to keep missions going in the nations. It was actually a lot of work and money, but it was worth it in the dream. But at the same time, we're celebrating the great third great awakening, which had already come, but Jesus hadn't come back yet. So I don't know how that works with your theology. I'm just sharing a dream. And so in the midst of that, I'm going to celebrate with my friends at some great big conference. And they're like, when I went to the hotel room, it was the Azusa commemorative room. And so it was commemorating the Azusa revival that happened with William Seymour and Frank Bartleman. And I'm a history guy, so I'm ready to walk into the room. And I'm like, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to see all the history. I'm going to see pictures and stories. Yeah, and I walk into my hotel room expecting to see these great massive pictures of Bartleman and Seymour. And I did see pictures of them. But I saw these pictures of women everywhere. And then some of them were bigger sizes, some were smaller sizes. And to the degree that they prayed and lived holy was to the degree and the size of their picture. Because this is how, and the wisdom said to me, I'm going to show you how I see history. And then he said this, you think about Bartleman and Seymour when you think of Azusa. He said, I raised up Bartleman and Seymour because of the prayers of these praying women. And I was like, that's awesome. Well, then it went like this. Then he said this to me. If you understood my desire and my value and my plan for women in the Third Great Awakening, you would pray for your wife totally differently. I'm going to say it again. Some of you guys are like, oh, crud.
Asking the Lord, okay, this is part of the aha that you put together that I was telling you about in the back. And so if you noticed, Ben was saying, let's go after love abounding in a greater way. Let's go after this. It's very important. Let's go after love abounding. There's a dream here. And he told us about the dream and the college age. He knows going through Song of Solomon, texting back and forth and all that. But he was saying that hearts were coming alive and that the community that they were in was growing up in the love of God. So it was really important. And what really struck me is he said, if you want to be part of this next move of God, and that this recognition of this lawlessness increasing, but love growing cold, and I need to walk in something different so that I can be on the front lines with that everywhere, you have to guard the love of God in your heart. You have to guard that, the love of God for God, from God, for God, out to others, from him, about him, from him, to us, and then out. We have to guard it, meaning we have to be aware that the enemy's trying to snatch it away. So if we have had a recognition, a realization, we've had an understanding, it's like, yeah, I'm on fire, or I love Jesus, or I've done things. The enemy's goal is to take that and neutralize or eradicate it or bring it to a point where there's just all kinds of stuff that's hindered growing and abounding love. And that's why the Lord disciplines us. That's why the Lord chastens us. That's why he's shaping us, so that love will be increased. It's about love. But we have to be willing to say, Lord, is there anything in me that you want to change so that love overtakes that place? I mean, it's a love act from God, and it's just really strong, really powerful, and it's for now. And so when he gives us prophetic words, pictures, dreams, and things like that, he's saying, pay attention, especially if he brings it back to our memory. He says, I'm doing this right now. It'll be a lifelong process, but it will be right now. He says, you have to be alive. You have to have fiery love. And it's not just for the things you like to do. It's fiery love means fiery from his heart. What is fiery? Let's define that. If it's fiery, it's passionate, it's like never, it's relentless, it's growing. If you have a fire in the fireplace, you keep throwing logs on and it gets brighter and heavier and hotter, and it's like, oh, I love this. That's just a you know, good picture for us. He's saying, are you burning? Are you burning? Are you hot? Are you on fire? Let me show you how. Let me kiss you with the kisses of my mouth. The most intimate way to show affection would be through the kisses of your mouth, which you would do with your husband or your wife, right? Typically. And so that's a good way. And the Lord wants us to see that there's intimacy even better than that, bigger than that, deeper than that. There are people here who are not married. You can be intimate with the Lord and have that kind of affection that supersedes even marital love. It's supposed to define marital love, give substance to it, but it's still greater, bigger, deeper, and wider. And so God wants to shape us, and that's what's missing. Was missing for the young one that I was referring to before the film, before this. The young one from Jackson High School. There was a major love deficit there. So, You know, the answer is not in a better program. The answer will be, ultimate answer will be, the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts to be able to affect the changes. And we have to help people see. And they may not understand it first, but if we're carrying the depth of that love, they'll listen and they'll go, what a great idea, let's do this. And we move in, we move towards that any way that we can. We're in real pivotal times right now. So, and Ben also said, keep missions going in the nations. And these women that he talked about that would help, that were seen, you know, in this dream, that were part in the foundational people in prayer and holiness, praying and living holy, he said. These people are the ones who are just going after it, just falling deeper in love with Jesus, but then being targeted with this love, that the love is targeted for them to do what they could do. And that is praying and connecting. And the word that I heard a lot this week was, kids are not connected. And it's like, okay, we can have all kinds of programs, and I'm not against that, okay? I like clubs and activities, and, you know, we have one over at the high school. So that's all good. It can be. But it's not the final word. It's not the answer. It's the people in this arena here. It's the atmosphere over this place. It's us seeing what the needs are and then moving in tandem with that and being part of that and saying, Lord, I there's no fear in love, but how do I get there? It's a very exciting time, actually, to be alive. And if you just want to check for a second, and I just saw this right before I hopped in my car to come. I hadn't really thought it through before, but the Lord said, take a look at that verse in Matthew 24. So open your Bibles really quickly, because Ben was talking about verse 12. He says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love from God, for God, through God, by God, for them to be left, you know, given to others is weakened. It's growing cold. It's not on fire. It's not like this passionate, ah. So if we give a charge on a Sunday and then we go to work on Monday and it's like, well, I felt really cool yesterday, but it's a little different. It's because this is the challenge. This, the enemy is like, don't go there. Don't see that he is who he says he is. Don't take advantage of opportunities to pull in and pursue him because he's always pursuing us. Because this God wants us to leave here with something that's sustainable and growing and increasing. Verse 13 in chapter 24 says, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. So you get 12 and 13 together. But look at verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So this gospel of the kingdom is this gospel of love, but we have to be walking in it and carrying this kind of fiery love. And there will be people who will resist that, or have been captured or gone after by other critters and snakes and animals and things in the negative kingdom that go after them. And we have to be able to have eyes to see it and say no and challenge. That's why the friend of Chris Vallotton actually said, man, I love you, but you're arrogant, meaning there's right over here, you're not seeing it. You're not seeing that there's a problem here. You're not humble in this area. I was like, whoa. But when he went to the Lord, because he's a humble man, the Lord showed him and said, listen, this is where deception can creep in. If you're deceived and you think you are humble in this area, you can't see it, and you need your friends, and you need someone that you can trust would tell you the truth. So if someone tells you the truth, you go to someone, tell me, what do you see? And that's good. That's where safety is. And that's what he was trying to say. Was like, oh, wow, may we never get too big or, you know, anything, thinking that can't be any of us, right? Okay, just before we see the next one, look at chapter 22. I'm not going through it, but it's the parable of the marriage feast, guys. And this is what I saw today, that the Lord was just like giving me an aha. But we don't have time to go through it. You'll have to read it. But the parable of the marriage feast, which you do all know, absolutely is profound before we get into a discussion of the end times. He's talking about intimacy, really, really deep intimacy. Chapter 23 is talking about Pharisee-ism being exposed. The way that we cannot be the most effective first responders, and even beyond that, here and abroad, will be if we cannot move, or we are not moving in this area, constantly desiring, kiss me with the kisses of your lips. Kiss me. I need intimacy with you. I've got to go after you. I have to have you because you are who you are. Before I'm going out and doing all these things, before I say, okay, I'm on the schedule, now I'll show up and I'll go worship. But I'm not in that love boat, so to speak, with God. It's like these things don't work. And I just say that because we have lots of worship team people here. But we also have those who are not, so it doesn't matter. It's just like anything that we're doing for God, with God, this is primo, this is priority. Because the enemy can fool us and trick us, and we'll think the Holy Spirit's telling us something, and it'll just be us, but we won't see it. And so check out chapter 24. Oh, dear. Chapter 24, which is Signs of Christ's Return, and that's where Ben started all this. I mean, Jesus in chapter 23 is really strong, and he loves Pharisees too. Right? He loves anyone who is far to see. He's loving. He's kind. It's all about his love. And he's saying, I'm trying to help you. Will you listen? Accept the truth and be willing to say, I will be a truth bearer and changer. Honestly, there'll be people right in your midst that you may have to connect with, honestly, because of relational, connection God's given you right now. So anyway, chapter 24, Signs of Christ's Return. Ben went in verse 12, 13, and 14, but ends it with, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. It's like, oh my gosh. Okay. Are we hearing more of an aha in our heart? Think. Stop and think. There was a picture we didn't show of Mozambique. You can put that up really quickly. I feel really bad. Remind me, guys, if I miss one. Do you know that Bocaria, how many of you guys have been to Mozambique and you've seen the Bocaria, the dump? Do you know that many people were killed because the dump, you know those big piles, those burning piles, they collapsed and they were sucked right into it. For real. It's like, what? That was tragic. I mean, I could talk all day about tragedy. That's not why I'm here. I'm just trying to show you the extreme times that we live in. This is Palmyra. This is the wall that we all stood on. This, look. Look. This is the building. This is the church. This is from Pressing In. How many of us were there last year? Okay? That one. Cameron. Palmyra. That's the wall built up from Mozambique. I just mentioned it. You just walked in, so I just saw you. Is that amazing? Look at that. You're the first ones to see it. Not posted anywhere. He said, I want my frontline family to see it. Okay? This has been through pressing in, through prayer and trusting. We've built the foundation. Another building part. And I, doggone it, forgot to show that with everyone else. We'll put it up when they come back in, I guess. Is that amazing? Look at this. And our beloved PJ, I talked to him this morning. I said, do you have the blueprints for the land on the sea? They were promised this week. They were promised last week. It's out of his hands. Well, the guy had it. There was a flood. There's always something. He goes, but I'm sure it'll be tomorrow or the next day. Betty, we talked today about that. They're almost finished. He goes, but you don't want almost. You want the best. I said, yes. So they will be finished, we're believing, tomorrow or the next day. It was going to be shown with this. That was the plan. Well, didn't happen, so that was our plan. We hoped. called them to 8:30. So are they ready? Tomorrow. Glory to God. Or the next day. Do you see what I'm saying? The Lord's saying, watch. Watch what's going on. Watch the bigger picture. All right, let's go to the second clip. We have these two, and then we can wrap it up.
With the kisses of his mouth. This is speaking of the most intimate things. And you say, it's a prayer for the most intimate love. So that first love we have is love from God. Right? But we've got to pray for that. When is the last time you prayed for God? And this is what this is saying here. I do this all the time. Let your words touch my heart and fill my heart with love. That's what you got to say. I want to read your word and get such intimacy that it blows me away. Let your words kiss me. Does that make sense? I mean, guys are sitting there going, I don't know if I'm going to pray that prayer to Jesus. Trust me, you will. Okay? You want to, and that's why we ask for, when we're texting God, we go, what is this? Show me about who you are, and then what is it you think or feel about me? Does that make sense? So we want to be standing before the Word of God and saying, Father, let Jesus kiss me with the kisses of his word. I want to know the intimacy. Why? Jesus warned us, as lawlessness abounds, the love of many will grow cold. If you want to participate in that end of the age revival that's happening, your heart has to be alive. Does that make sense? Hold your hand in here. Turn to Matthew 22. Verse 34 through 40. Matthew 22, verse 34 through 40. Okay. Let's read this together. Because I'm seeing some of you start to drift off. But when the Pharisees heard that he and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Jesus said to him,
you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind.
This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of these two commandments hang all the law of the Lord. Okay. So I want you to look at this. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This one doesn't say strength. It says with all your mind. Okay. First of all, it's important to know that this is the greatest what? Does it say the greatest option? No. The greatest, just if you feel you get around to it, it's the greatest commandment. I don't want to put another burden on you, but I do want to say this. Make this a priority within your life, more so than you would make a priority for paying your mortgage or your rent. Now, this doesn't mean that you give up your mortgage or your rent, but all of you, every month I'm like, honey, how are we doing on that rent money? She's like, how are you doing on your prayer life? You know, that's every month I'm like, honey, and she's like, looks like we'll make it. But my point is, I make it more of a priority to go after the love of God in my life. How many of you have been on airplanes and they mask, hopefully never came down, but that mask comes down and they say, what should you do with the mask?
Put it on first.
Put it on yourself first. Why? Someone just shouted out. You can't help anyone else if you're dead, right? So you've got to, and the same thing, that's what Jesus is trying to say. Put the mask on first. Because otherwise, what you go out there and do, you're going to actually multiply your broken love all around the place. First, we've got to be filled with love from God. Where we get that love from God. The second kind of love is your love that goes back to God. Okay? So the first kind of love is love from God. And then your love going back to Him. Okay? The first kind of love is love with God for God. Second love is love from God for you. And then thirdly is your love back to God. Let me say that again. Firstly, it's God's love for God. Because that's where it starts. That's John 15, verse 9. We're going to turn there right now. So John 15, 9. Thanks, Jim. John 15, verse 9. Let's read that when we get there together. Ready? As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Let's read that again. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So, who's saying this? Again, we all agree that he's the best preacher, right? And he's saying, in the same way the Father loved me, that's the way I love you. Therefore, abide in my love. Think about that for a second. I mean, he's giving his argument. The Father loves me. I love you, love me. The same way the Father loves me, I also love you. How many of you can agree that God loves God really well? Is there any brokenness in that love? No. So truthfully, love does win. That's a hashtag. Except for the definition of that is the Father and the Son. Think about that for a second. And so we've got to take in the same way that God the Father loves God the Son, is the same way that God loves us. I love sitting down and teaching people this. I do this all the time, every day. Because I put it on the internet and it keeps going. Just did it once. It's so amazing. I get so many people that they comment and they write stuff about this, and I'm like, I know, it's awesome, isn't it? I love it. And so the Father, I want you to have the highest vision for love for your own life and for the lives of those that you're discipling. Turn with me back to Song of Songs. Now I'm going to speed things up, and I want to get through 5 verses, and I want you to walk away going, oh my God. Because this is the answer for the young lady who's looking for love in places that aren't correct. This is the answer for the young man who's struggling on the internet. This is the answer for your marriage. This is the answer for your relationship that's gone astray with your family members. Because you're going to get filled with the love of God, and it's going to overflow into everything you do. This is the answer for your lack of patience with your children. As you grow in love for God, you are going to be overwhelmed. The first kind of love is love that God has for God. And then secondly is God to you. And then thirdly is you to God. And then fourthly is your love for people. It has to be in that order. You have to grow in love with God first. Otherwise, you're going to multiply your weak love on people, and it's going to last 2 seconds. So first,
a couple of points would be that, not all of them, that it has to be in that order. I really like that because we're ordered people and the Lord put it that way for a reason. All these aspects about love. That's not new. Been hearing that a long time. But he's giving us a reminder and an encouragement and says that we will multiply our broken love all around the place and our weak love all around the place if we get it out of order. If we don't, if we just keep trying to help people, just keep trying to love people without the foundation of what he's talking about growing and that it's abounding. So really good stuff. He also said we need to make it more of a priority to go after the love of God in our life and to follow that order and use the oxygen mask on an airplane as an idea. That was a good example for us. And then he also mentioned that he wanted us to leave that night with the highest vision possible for love from God, for God with him, God then have his love move towards us and then love out to each other, that we'd have the highest vision for that. So we're in a place of change and we're in a place of progression, but he wants us to have this vision so that it can grow. Without vision, people perish. Without vision, your friends are affected. Without vision, the enemy moves. Without vision, the fox gets in the nest or the safe place. So if we can get the vision and then step into the solution, more of the solution of love, things begin to change. And as soon as we get the revelation of this for ourselves, if we are receiving the love of the Lord through this, then we can be effective. And something can actually be prevented and actually stopped. And actually we can affect great change in our lives, in our family's life, in our friends' lives, in this ministry, in this region. It's around the world. So this is a universal message, but he has packaged this really well for us. So I'm very excited and encouraged about that. And he again talks about love being the greatest commandment. So there's lots more here. But one thing we didn't, I missed this part, guys, but I saw it and I read it and I circled it, but I forgot to put it connected with this time-wise. He said the correlation of the love and leadership of God in your life is directly related to this. The leadership of God, the release of his love and the leadership of God. In other words, if he's leading, we will, because of all this love moving through us the way he's talking about, we will obey him. If we see something that says, oh, I need to change. I need to submit. I need to walk in forgiveness. I need to not make excuses. You know, all these things that I need to. The scripture says, if you will follow my word and be obedient, because love has so grabbed your heart, then you'll have the highest vision of love. But even if love hasn't grabbed it, you still are called by God to obey. But it becomes easier and easier and more effective. Amen. Let's watch the last one. This is a shorter one, and then we'll head home.
It's better than anything. Oh, are you serious, man? I love going to, I preach this on the corner to the meth addict. I love this verse. His love is better than every single earthly pleasure. It doesn't even compare. And so she's saying, I value your love. Now, verse 3. It says, because of the fragrance of your good ointment, your name is an ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. So we want to look at this because of the fragrance of your good ointments. And so it's speaking of that his name is an ointment poured forth, therefore the virgins love you. And what this means is the goodness of God really does lead us to repentance. The goodness of God really does heal us. And so remember, we've got to be able to explain who he is, like we talked about yesterday, the goodness of the Lord, which leads to repentance, to people around us, and it starts with his name. Your name is an ointment poured forth. And so he is actually a beautiful fragrance, the essence of who Christ is. It's a, Paul writes, it's a fragrance, either leading to life or to death, but it's a beautiful fragrance. We know that God is a beautiful fragrance, but as you look at his name, Exodus 34, verse 5, 6, and 7, Moses is in the cleft of the rock, he's hiding there, and then all of a sudden the name of God, if you've gone through the Holy Club's firm foundations, you'll know that one of those is the name of God, and we go through just a little bit of it. I took over 3 years to go through the name of God every day for 3 years. And I just sat on it line by line. And I go, you're the Lord God. And I just declare back to him. I love to minister back to God. It's like my favorite thing to do every day. Just sing to him. They had me at some panel, the super millennial panel the other day. And they wanted me to answer these questions, which I was like, cool, I'll do that. That's awesome. And they're like, tell us how you do your quiet time. And I started crying. I'm like, well, at least 3 times a day, I just get to sit and tell him how awesome he is and amazing he is. And I sing to him, and they're like looking at me like, no, I'm not against millennials. I mean, they're like my favorite people. And so I'm just sitting there staring at them, and they're like, I couldn't stop. I'm like, and then right before I go to bed, I just tell him I love him and I sing to him. And I took his name for 3.5 years, over 3 years, and I just shared it back to him. You are the Lord God. You are the one. And I declared who he was. I ministered back up. And then I went, the Lord, you're merciful. And I just declare his mercy back to him. And so what Solomon's writing is his name actually brings healing. Part of the goodness of the Lord is you sharing about the name of God. And he said, this is why people love you. This is why others around us love you. And then what's the next verse? Verse 4. Therefore, draw me away. And that's when we're saying, come deeper into intimacy. This has to be your prayer all the time. Draw me away. Because if you don't pray to be drawn away, you will be drawn away by something. You've got to pray to be drawn away. I always say, draw me away or I'll sin in like 10 minutes. I mean, that's not exactly how my prayer goes, but thanks, champ.
Let's just close in prayer. I think this is kind of a, you know, important place to just posture ourselves before the Lord. Let's just close up here and just talk to God. Lord, we just thank you that your love is better than any single earthly pleasure, any relationship, anything, Father, any go-to, be it person, place, or thing. And Lord, we choose today to value your love in a way that maybe hasn't been understood or revealed. And Lord, that your fragrance is your goodness, and it does lead us, Lord, to repentance. And your goodness heals us, and it starts with your name. Lord, we want to come into that place of growth with you. Lord, that we can only explain who you really are from a place of knowing, from a place of revelation. Father, that our hearts would be so intertwined with you that we would be able to step into even teaching the goodness of God, the goodness of you, and the essence of who you are, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you want us to be able to be your vessels, your instruments. Your name is the anointment poured forth. Your essence, Lord, of who you are is so beautiful, and we need to receive you that way. And it leads to life or death, Lord. We choose life. And we thank you, Lord God, that you remind us that the therefore is a result of, because of, that we can declare who you are back to you, and your name will bring healing in our hearts. This is why we love you, Lord. Your goodness. We love you because you're good. We love you because you're majestic. We love you because you're awesome. We love you because you're God. We love you because you have designed us. We love you because you are lovable. We love you because you are the great I am. So therefore, draw us away. And that would be the condition of our heart. Draw us away. Draw me away, Lord, so that I won't be drawn away by opinions, by anything else, God, that's meant to cloud me from that place of deep intimacy. Lord, we were reminded that if we don't pray to be drawn away by you, that we will be drawn away. So, Lord, we're choosing today to set ourselves to actually believe and receive. Draw me away is our heart's cry and posture before you. This is our prayer. Draw me away into intimacy. Let's do life together, Lord. We want to walk in the fullness of the first commandment. Draw me away. And then we can run effectively in areas where we are loving others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that King Jesus have drawn us into your chamber, and that you're coming to get us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you've come to get us and that we see you that way. Lord, expand our hearts today with the impartation that's come, the aha that we've had from the very beginning of all this today. Lord, that you're the key, and it's you're practical, you're tangible, you're real, you're definable, but you change not. And we reach up to you as you reach down to us. Thank you, Lord. Father, help us as we learn your ways of the kingdom to be the responders you've called us to be. That we wouldn't just take part of your word, but that we will say yes and be activated in the full counsel of your word that will change us, rearrange us, and draw us into that place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the wall of fire around our hearts today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your beautiful gift. Your beautiful gift of love that leads all of us to repentance and healing and saturates us to become more like you. Thank you, Lord. We offer ourselves to you this way in light of Romans 12, 1 and 2. We present ourselves to you this way, and you're our safe place. And in you, there is only holy fear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that people will recognize holy fear in us and be drawn and not be deluded by lies. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know where God's going with all this, honestly, but I know we're on the precipice of something very thrilling. So God bless you guys, and have a great week. Yeah. Can you put the Mozambique picture up there, please? And then we can also have some music, Justin, or Jordan. Who is that? Is that Justin. Oh, there was a recorder in the back. Andy has it. So God bless you guys. So next